there's still so much to see.
You make me come alive. I never felt so free.
Welcome to Explore Lake Murray Country, your guide to come alive in the jewel of South Carolina. I'm your host, Kelly Hughes, and joining us on today's episode is John Charta, a local birder here in our region who also leads bird walks for other bird enthusiasts. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you, Kelly. And the term is bird nerd.
That's how we prefer.
No, I'm kidding. No, you did just fine. Bird enthusiast is good.
I like bird nerd.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's cute. So starting right off, I want to know this, and our audience wants to know it. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got interested in birding.
So it started for me in 2011, and probably a little bit earlier than that. I had a grandfather who was really into birds, and my mother and uncle, his children, also were into birds. And so I think I had started getting a little bit of it. But in 2011, I started working for a summer camp, and they put me in the nature area, and I ended up teaching bird study, and it stuck. And it's just, I've really not looked back. From like 2014 to 2018, I kind of hit it because my wife and I were starting to date and I didn't want her to see how obsessed I was with something. So I took a little bit of break, but I came back hard in 2018, which was great. So when COVID hit, I was able to be outside with everybody else. And it's just grown from there. And birds haven't disappointed me yet. So many things do disappoint, but birds have always been pure and genuine. So.
Oh, that's so sweet. So are you from the region?
I am. I grew up in West Columbia, went to Brooklyn Casey High School, went to USC. Studied education for 1 year. I was going to be a teacher. That's why I had the summer job and just stuck around. Haven't really ever wanted to leave.
Well, I'm sure with all this time that you've spent with birding, I'm sure that your favorite thing about it has changed. But I would say right now, what is your favorite thing about birding?
Oh, it's the birds. The variety, the goofiness. Birds have personality. Birds can be funny. Birds can be sassy. And just going out and seeing something new, seeing a bird do something you've never seen it before. Or do before, or seeing a brand new bird, what we call a life bird, you know, that'll get people really pumped up. Right now down in Savannah, people are seeing something called a gray kingbird. This bird is normally Caribbean-based, not even part of the continental U.S., and it's been reported a handful of times, really good photos, and a lot of us are itching, like, you know, maybe we get down there and see this bird.
Yeah.
Because birding at the end of the day can become competitive. You know, you build these life lists based on regions. So everyone has a life list for the world, a life list for the country they live in, for the state. I'm really big on Lexington County because that's where I live. Mm. And it's just a good sense of fun competition. That's all on the honor system, too.
Yeah. Well, right before we started recording, you mentioned about how natural weather phenomena sometimes mm-hmm. have an impact on what kind of birds you can see in your area. You go in a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's this weird thing where bird people get excited about hurricanes. Because we'll see a hurricane out there in the Atlantic coming towards us. And if we know it's going to hit the coast and come inland, we get geared up. We batten down the hatches. We don't go out in the eye of the hurricane or during the actual storm. But a lot of times, birds on the coast, birds in the Caribbean, will just get caught up in these winds. And by the time they get out of it, they're thousands of miles from home. So they just see a big piece of water. So Lake Murray is a great example of that. And they just end up landing there. We call that vagrant birds. So good example of that. Earlier this winter, I don't think a storm brought it. You know, we don't know a lot about bird migration. We know they migrate. We know why they migrate, but we don't know how.
Mm.
But we do have a number of species in the winter that will come, instead of going north to south, they'll come west to east. So we'll have a bunch of West Coast birds here in South Carolina. And one of those was a Pacific loon that we had out on Lake Murray. And he was just chilling with a whole bunch of common loons, which is the main loon that we have out there. And we got to see him. We had to get in a boat to see it. You know, that's not one of those birds you're going to get to see from the shoreline too often. And then the biggest example was last year, a hurricane came up through Central America and just picked up a flock of flamingos and brought flamingos across the East Coast. So I know Alabama had them. South Carolina had two for a while. And one that stayed up until about November, December, it was pretty regular down on Bull Island. Down off of Charleston and Awandaw. And then another flamingo was just seen recently in Charleston area that had a band on it. So we don't know if that one maybe got out of a zoo or if this is still one of those original flamingos or not. But the flamingos were seen as far as Wisconsin, which is, yeah, just wild. Now, unfortunately, that's usually a pretty bad ending for the flamingos
because
they're not where their food source is and they have maybe new predators they're not used to. But we had a lot of hope because that flamingo in Bull Island lasted so long. We're hopeful that maybe he just flew back south and maybe found some friends down in Florida. There are a couple flocks in Florida that can be found there. So hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah. Fingers crossed.
Right.
So maybe this is a negligent question of me to ask. So I understand personally the concept of migration. Obviously, mm-hmm. they're moving because of the seasons mm-hmm. and, you know, roosting and breeding. But is that really just something that they're born to know?
Right. Yeah. And so it's food. Food is the main thing. So when the winter months come, a lot of these birds are eating bugs. And we all get relief in the winter because the mosquitoes aren't biting us as much. And because of that, birds are heading down south
where I
there
see.
Are more plentiful bugs. But why? It's just they don't even know. Like
their instinct.
Yeah, instinct or electromagnet, you know, something from the brain connecting
that's
to
so
the
cool.
earth, right? It's amazing. And there's so much more to learn about it. I'm no ornithologist. I'm in no way scientific on this. I'm just an enthusiast and watcher. But, I mean, you catch on to that kind of stuff. And there's so many birdie things being produced now. You know, we had a guy here, he's a buddy of mine, Zach, who made a movie about purple martins.
Oh, yeah.
Purple Haze. It's a documentary. He'll show it around town every now and then. And he has a little bit in there about migration and why and how. PBS and ETV have been releasing a lot of bird-themed, because birds are it. Birds are the word.
Yeah, bird We're is here. The word.
And it's becoming more and more of a economical thing, because you have bird festivals that are popping up. So up in the upstate, Caesar's Head, there's usually a pretty good bird festival. I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. In Ohio this week, I think it's something like the world's biggest bird festival, the world's greatest bird festival is going on.
How cool.
Because we're smack in the middle of migration right now. So
yeah.
All these birds are coming up south and hanging out with us. So we're recording in about, you know, early May-ish. So it's kind of the tail end for the south. We're starting to see the end of it. The birds aren't as plentiful as they have been. But up in the northeast, where you're from, Jersey, because we got to mention it because it's a Lake Murray
yes.
podcast.
Oh, my
it has
gosh.
To be mentioned. The Cape May is a huge bird spot.
Love
There's actually
Cape
a
May.
Warbler named after Cape May. Cape
really?
May warbler. Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, wow. I'm not actually from New Jersey, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, no, it's all right. It's good.
Well, that's really cool. And so we have talked about on this podcast previously with John Manchester mm-hmm. and with Michael Mayo about some of the birds that you can find around our natural resources. So we've obviously talked about purple martin phenomenon, yeah. a term we coined Lake Murray Country. The bald eagles, I mean, they're a mm-hmm. great sight to see. They've been kind of more in recent talks, I guess people mm-hmm. did not realize that you can literally just go down to the
Saluda
West
River
Columbia.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can go right down to the rivers and they're hanging out there. And of course, osprey on the lake. Mm-hmm. But what are some other birds that if people kind of just kept their eye out? You know, when you say if you're looking for a yellow car, like you'll see one.
Right. Absolutely.
What are some other like great birds that people can see in our region?
Right now, if you look in the skies, you're going to see a very sleek raptor bird of prey. It's called a kite, a Mississippi kite.
Ooh.
And they are bug catchers. So they're a bird of prey. And I think they will get small birds on occasion. But right now, you know, another one of these phenomena, and I call that too, is any of the bridges on the river going from Lexington County to Richland County in the middle of the hot day, you might be able to see 100 of these birds.
Wow.
Just, hawking for insects over the river. It's really cool. And so if you park at the Gervais Street Bridge on the West Columbia River Walk, you can walk up there and you can get some, you know, eye-to-eye views. Normally a bird that you have to look up to see, you can see right across the way from you. It's a cool thing. And that'll last through, you know, probably the end of May into June, because everyone's getting ready to nest. You know, they're
yeah.
coming up here to breed. Mississippi kites do breed with us. Another bird that you're going to start seeing a lot of in the sky is a chimney swift. You're probably going to hear this bird too. And this is going to be that thing where, like, you know, you say, hey, do you hear that beeping noise? And all of a sudden all you hear is the beeping noise. It's going to be this chimney swift. You're
oh,
going to
wow.
hear this little chittering sound, especially at dusk. They really love to come out, and they just look like flying cigars with these little scimitar wings. They're sleek birds. They're fast birds. They make that chittering sound, and they roost in chimneys. You know, they have to roost in a vertical cavity. So that would have been like an old hollowed out tree.
Yeah.
But as humans, we don't like hollowed out trees because they're kind of ugly. So we tend to knock them down. So chimney swifts adapted to chimneys.
That's and crazy.
So if you ever hear a bird, and I know there's people out there right now who are screaming at their radio going, oh my gosh, we have birds. I can't stand it. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They are protected. All you can do is cap it, but please don't, because they need somewhere to hang out. If you
yeah.
go to, I think it's Southeast Park over there on the east side of Columbia, there's a couple tennis courts there. They have a chimney swift roost. You can build, it's literally just a chimney.
Oh, that's great.
That's just in the middle of a field. So one of the things I know Historic Columbia is thinking about trying to figure out if they can build a couple of these. And it's a really cool project. I tried to do it. My wife shut it down real quick because we have a lot of backyard cats and you know, we're just, I think, offering them a buffet. So,
actually.
And we don't have the most space, you know, we're in a little, you know, suburb neighborhood. So, but it's a really cool thing. But yeah, they don't have the feet to roost horizontally. They got to roost vertically.
That is so insane.
I can't imagine what the bottom of that chimney looks like at the end of the day, but it's not there anymore. Unfortunately, the chimney got capped, but behind the hub downtown in August, about 2 years ago, you'd see thousands of chimney swifts, and they just turn into this tornado of birds that are circling, because they all just start pouring into this chimney one at a time. And the best part of that phenomenon was on the hub was a peregrine falcon that every night would swoop out, grab himself a little bit of dinner, and head back over. And that was cool. We haven't seen a peregrine in a while because we've lost that. But a lot of the old historic neighborhoods around that have some big old chimneys, we'll get smaller versions of that chimney swift roosting behavior. It's pretty cool to watch.
That is really cool. And good. It's a good time of the year in Columbia. I hope nobody's using their chimneys. There's no reason to be lighting a fire in your house. And if you are, I think you're in the wrong area. You're living in the wrong area. It's a little hot. So what are some of your favorite places to go birding in this area? I know you say Lexington County is like your main focus, mm-hmm. and Lake Murray is a huge part of that. But within our whole region, Newberry, Saluda, Richland, and Lexington, what are some of your favorite places?
Absolutely. So you can't start this conversation without talking about Congaree National Park.
Of course.
It's a beautiful spot. It's a good spot to see a Prothonotary warbler. It is this bright, beautiful yellow warbler. It used to be called a swamp warbler or a southern warbler. I think that's a really better name for it than Prothonotary. But it's a jewel in this green, swampy area. It's usually easy to see. So most warblers are treetop birds. They like to hang out up top. But Prothonotary warblers actually nest in cavities. So you'll find them a little bit lower. And that makes it easier to get a good view of them. To that same end, Congaree Creek Heritage Preserve over there in Casey, West Columbia. I was there this morning. I actually led a bird walk looking for birds. That's another really great spot to do it. Do be careful. There are gators there. So no little dogs with you. The gators won't mess with you, but if you have a little dog, that might be a little bit too tempting of a meal for a gator to pass up. Wateree Heritage Preserve out there going towards the outskirts of Richland County is another really good spot. And then just birds are everywhere. Like, you don't have to go to a preserve. You know, I lead bird walks at Historic Columbia, you know, the second Thursday of the month. You got to sign up for them. They are free. But urban birding is a big thing. Historic Columbia does a really good job of having a diverse array of habitats. So they got low brush, they got big old oak trees, they have all kinds of cool native things. So birds love it there. So you can bird in your backyard. You don't have to necessarily go out in the middle of a swamp with big old duck boots on.
Yeah, something that you said earlier, you said like the economic impact that birding has now. And I can also see the other side of it, like the economically safe aspect of birding is that it's totally free. You can just go to your local park and enjoy your natural resources. And if you want to look at birds, you can look at birds. But of course, I understand that for some of the best birding experiences, you are probably going to need equipment like binoculars and a good camera. Mm-hmm. But I do like the aspect of just walk outside, just go outside.
Oh, yeah. Put up a feeder.
Put
up a feeder. And you know, if feeders get dirty, take them down. Birds don't rely on your feeders. They estimate that maybe birds get 30% of their diet from a feeder. So don't feel guilty if you got to take a feeder down because feeders are a big disease spreader. You know, if they do get dirty, it is important to clean them. But so, yeah, put up feeders. And if you get squirrels, if that's a problem, mix a little bit of red pepper flakes in there.
I've seen squirrels,
mammals, they don't like it, but the birds aren't affected by it. They don't have the same olfactory.
That's crazy.
Senses. And then if you got a feeder like on a deck or near your home and you don't want all that riffraff on the ground, they make a no mess seed that you can get at most seed places that will keep that from, so you won't get the rats and the squirrels and the other unsavorable things that can show up. We had a rat under one of our feeders. I nicknamed him Harry Ratter. it was Daniel Ratcliffe. Oh my goodness. Daniel Ratcliffe. And then there was another one that was Ratterly Portman. We have hawks in the neighborhood, too, so I don't think those two are around anymore. I haven't seen
them. You got the whole natural life cycle, or what is it, the food chain?
Right. Oh, absolutely.
The food web happening in the backyard. So what do you think, in your opinion, are some of the things that make birding around here so fun? And can you also tell us a little bit about the programs that you lead throughout the region?
Absolutely. So it's a community. Birding with people. So I love to bird on my own. I have no issues doing that, but I love to bird with someone else. And that can range from a beginner who's never held a pair of binoculars in their life. Binoculars are a little bit trickier than just, you know, putting your eyes on them and looking through them. There's some things you need to do to kind of tune them into your eyes. So I love to walk people through that. I love to walk people through how to clean binoculars. So I love having a novice, because a novice will look at a cardinal and be like, that's a beautiful bird.
Me every day.
Experts or bird nerds, cardinal, it's a cardinal.
Oh, stop.
And I'm really trying not to, like, I'm trying to build good bird karma. So I'm trying to appreciate the cardinals and the mockingbirds and the blue jays. But it can be hard when they're so plentiful. And, you know, you want to see that rare warbler. You want to see that Cape May warbler. But, oh, no, it's a chickadee. we got chickadees year round. I mean, I have a chickadee tattoo, so I do like the chickadee. But it can, when you want that rush of that new bird. But, yeah, the community. So we have a great Audubon society here in Columbia. It's called Columbia Audubon. When you Google it, you will head to Missouri's Columbia Audubon. Do not go there. They're great Audubon, I am sure. But you want the Columbia, South Carolina Audubon. The easiest way to find them, I think, would be to head to Facebook. Hmm. We have one of those Google web pages. So it's the URL is not simple. But if you head to the website or to the Facebook group, the website's there. The community on the Facebook group's a lot of fun. People will post birds that they've seen in their yard. They'll invite folks to come over and look at it. They'll post stories about things happening around. If you're a student at USC, the Midlands Bird Society, it's another Audubon chapter. But they just started in the last year. So Midlands Bird Society is an on-campus Audubon chapter.
Very cool.
They're doing, with Columbia Audubon, Warbling Wednesdays. So they have a pop-up walk coming Wednesday at the Horseshoe. The Horseshoe, again, one of those places, a lot of those magnificent old oak trees that have been there forever. And warblers love those oak trees because they're covered in bugs.
Yeah.
And the warblers want the bugs and the caterpillars and the worms. That's what they want to eat. So, oh, right. Doesn't it sound just tasty?
Mm-hmm.
I think they get that walk started at like 7:30 or 8. But if you head to the Facebook, they'll have all that information on there. And there's a great newsletter they put out. And they don't overuse it, which is very, very, yes, thank y'all.
Yeah.
That will have a bunch of, again, stories, how-tos, what's going on, what are we doing? There's a piece of property down in, I think, Calhoun County that was bequeathed to the Audubon that they're trying to build up and do some bird study and stuff down there. So there's a lot of bird activity and really great birding groups that people can join.
Yeah.
They have bi-monthly member meetings, so every 2 months. They just had one this Wednesday. Well, they'll have experts come in and talk about bird banding or, you know, some other thing that's going on. So it's really welcoming. So if you're out there, you're a first-year birder, because it's overwhelming. You know, you talked about what kind of species you can see. You know, over the course of migrations and breeding and winter, you can see up to 300 species of bird in South Carolina. And that's a ton, and it's a lot. And a lot of them look similar. it can be tough. You can open the sparrow page of your bird guide, and they all look like a little brown bird. So it's really helpful, and that's where I learned my most, was having a guru, having someone to point out, like, this is a white-throated sparrow because he's got this big white patch on his throat. He's got these little yellow eye lores. And then, you know, that's how you build that. You're not going to learn it all at once. You can't sit. Well, maybe some people can. I couldn't do this. I couldn't sit and study a bird book and then go out and be able to identify. It's just, it takes a little bit of time. But time's what we got.
Definitely. So what's your favorite bird?
Oh, I've mulled this over a lot, because it's a question you get. I think mine's going to have to be the belted kingfisher. So he is a little bit of a bigger bird. He's bigger than a blue jay. He's got a mohawk, kind of like a blue jay. We call that a crest in the bird world. The male bird, and this is one of the few times the male bird's actually a little bit less resplendent than the female bird in the bird world. The males are you think about a peacock, that's the male of the bird. But for the belted kingfisher, the male is just blue and white, and he's a beautiful blue. But the female's got this like russet band across her chest. But these are birds that you'll see perching a lot. They're always going to be near water. So kingfisher, they're fish eaters. They'll be near. They're all over the state, so you can see them in every county. I think you can see them just about in the whole country, too. But, yeah, if you're at a little pond and you hear something that kind of sounds like a machine gun rattling, that's a belted kingfisher that's chirping off. They don't let you get super close. They're a little bit skittish. Some birds are not as skittish as others.
Yeah.
But it's I think that's my favorite bird.
I love that. Sounds like a magnificent bird. I'm going to keep my eye out for it. I'm going to look up a picture on Google Images, and then I'll keep an eye out for it.
And they're definitely on Lake Murray. Oh. So you can find them. And
y'all heard it here. Y'all heard it here. Yeah, we're getting ready for the Purple Martin phenomenon. We're getting excited. We're bringing some journalists out to come check it out through us. And, of course, we promote it like crazy every year because we want people to – not only use our partners to go get these charter boat tours on our lake, but we want people to just see it for themselves,
absolutely,
especially locals. I mean, as much as we want tourists to come check it out, the locals don't realize that this is in their backyard. Mm-hmm. And it is a phenomenon, to say the least. So we're getting really excited. It's just a perfect time of year. Like you said, with all the migrations right. happening and the mix and match of everything. I want to know how often you lead these bird walks.
So it depends. So I do pop-up walks with the Columbia Audubon. That's what this morning's was. And I'm trying to do like maybe once a month with them if I can. I lead once a month with Historic Columbia. Again, it's that second Thursday. You got to register with Historic Columbia. But it's been a good walk. And that one's, you know, it's a Thursday. We go from 8 to 10. You don't have to stay for the whole time. You know, some people, I know people got to work. So people, you know, you're able to break off whenever you need to. And then I started the worst side hustle in the world back in January, you know, for this new year. It's called Birdwalk SC. And this was just my idea of, I want to make birding more accessible for everybody. Some of the best birding places in the state are confusing. They're massive land management areas or wildlife management areas. The one that comes to mind for me is called Bear Island National Wildlife Refuge. And it's down in Colleton County on the coast, and it's just massive. And if you don't know the couple hot spots within there to look, it can be a very frustrating day. My first time there was an extremely frustrating day because I'd heard like this birding paradise was down there, and I almost saw nothing. So having a guide the next time I went down there who took me with him and showed me along. Because there's no map when you get there. Like, go here for the birds.
Yeah.
And then birds have wings. So sometimes a really good spot might be empty.
Yeah.
And so you got to know where they're likely to be from that. So that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to lead free bird walks throughout the state at these beautiful locations. I've led about three of those so far. You know, that whole work thing really gets in the way. You gotta do that first, I guess. But I do love my job, so that's not a big deal. And then with migration coming on and all that, I haven't done them a lot lately. But Birdwalk SC, free bird walks, I cap it at 10 because you want to have a bit of a smaller group. You know, big groups don't necessarily scare birds off, but it's really hard to manage and get all 20 sets of eyes on a really tiny, flitty bird.
Yeah.
So we do cap that at 10. And I post them on Eventbrite. That's all I do. Like I said, it's a terrible side hustle because it's free. I don't charge any money. I never will. I don't want anyone to feel like they have a barrier to birding. You mentioned earlier binoculars. You don't have to have binoculars to bird, but boy, do they help.
I bet.
And I would go ahead and you know, invest a little bit. You know, you can get a pretty decent pair from like a Walmart for $50. Mm. You want to do some research. You know, a lot of people will have those little tiny ones, almost look like opera glasses, but the magnification on them isn't super great. So you're not helping yourself out a whole lot.
Yeah.
10x42s are really, for me, the sweet spot on magnification. And there's a lot of great optic companies out there. You could spend a lot of money. Swarovski, the people who make the diamonds.
Yeah.
They make binoculars and spotting scopes. Oh. Right? Who knew? But they're as expensive as the diamonds. So I don't have those.
Yeah. You got to be an expert crazy bird, or you got to be like president of the Bird Foundation or something.
Right. Or just, you know, doing well for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. So before we wrap up this episode, I want you to quickly talk about what you do as your main job. You briefly talked about it with me prior.
Oh, that's very nice.
And I actually saw on your Facebook this morning that you were doing a bird connection to the foundation. So I just want you to kind of like give us a spiel about that. I want everyone to learn more about that.
Yeah, that's very kind of let me have this moment to talk about that. It's my job, but it's another passion for me. And I'm very lucky that I get to combine these two passions in this. So I work for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention here in South Carolina. We have a very strong chapter. I'm the only staff, so we're very volunteer-led. I have an amazing board of 15 people and then hundreds of volunteers across the state that just make us shine and make me look like a superhero, but really they're the superheroes. And what I do annually is hashtag birding to stop suicide. So I myself, in 2021, I was struggling. I had been diagnosed with anxiety and depression since 2005 and had been ignoring it. I think most men we're stubborn. I think we can admit that. And I was stubborn through it. And I tried therapy. I tried medication. It just wasn't really working out for me. So I just kind of quit, manned up, so to speak. And that did okay. Like I managed, you know, looking back, I got that 4-year education degree, but it took me 6 years to do it. Maybe my anxiety and depression was having a little effect on my life there. You know, had a couple interesting relationships through that time. I did discover birding, and birding did become a big mental health safe space for me. But, you know, eventually that stuff can come to a head. And I was birding in May of 2021 when my crisis hit and I tried to take my life. And I'm very fortunate I had this job already. I think this job saved my life because I had been doing a program called Talk Saves Lives. And it's a very simple 45-minute lunch and learn style presentation, but in it, it gives you some great tools on what to do. You know, you can call 988. That's the big crisis line number. For me, I was able to call my wife. You know, I just had that little voice that said, just give her a call and let her know. Just call.
Yeah.
And here I am. I'm very happy. You know, I started seeing a therapist again. I had sensed the storm coming, so I'd already had a therapist. And she and I just had a great conversation. We revisited medication. It worked for me. You know, it doesn't going to work for everyone. It's really, you know, what combination of things will work best for the individual. We got to treat our mental health like our physical health, and we got to let that be tailored, whether it's through our doctors or therapists or what have you. But if you're out there and you're struggling and you're hurting and you think you're alone, you are absolutely not alone. Call someone. Reach out. It doesn't have to be 988. It can be 988. 988 is wonderful. But it can be a friend or a family member. So adversely, if you're a friend and a family member and somebody comes to you and they say, hey, I'm having a bad day, can we talk? Yeah, absolutely. Take off the weight of having to solve their problem. That's not what they need. Take off the weight of having to, you know, debate philosophically about life being worth living. Mm-hmm. They don't need that. They just need someone to listen empathetically and say, dude, that sucks, but I got you. I'm here for you. You know, if you ever need me. You help them get through that crisis. If you have that and you're worried about that person still, call 988 yourself. 988's not just for people in crisis. It's a resource for anybody who wants to learn more about suicide prevention and what they can do to help someone in their lives.
Thank you so much, John.
All
oh,
day.
My gosh. That is so amazing. And I am so glad that you took the time to tell us about that and to spread that message. I think it is so important. And we don't really talk about mental health on this mm-hmm. podcast. And it's great that we had someone like you to come on and not only talk about the natural beauty of the world, but to talk about this very important cause that I think we need to talk more about, of course.
Absolutely.
I think you are an incredible individual, and it is so great, your mission with birding and making it affordable, accessible. Anyone can do it. Obviously, work gets in the way, but...
It's good work.
Of course. Thank you so much for coming on to this podcast and talking about everything birding and, of course, who you are as a person. Like I said, incredible. And thank you so much. Where can people find you on social media, online? How can people connect with you?
Absolutely. So for me personally, I take bird photos. That was going to be kind of the side hustle thing. I was going to take this great photo, print it out. I'm a little lazy. I didn't do it. But you can find me at Famously Dapper on Instagram. I used to be a menswear influencer. I'm not anymore. I just haven't changed the name. That goes back to the lazy thing. If you get really bored, you can go all the way back in my Instagram history and see the menswear stuff. It's in there still. I didn't get rid of it. No content is bad content, right? But it's got all my bird photos on it now. For the bird walks, that's at birdwalksc. I'm on Facebook and Instagram with that. And I'm really thinking of, rather than, you know, setting bird walks that people sign up for, I would love to get into a space where a group of people reach out to me and say, hey, we're a bunch of friends who want to learn more about birding. When can we come bird with you?
Yeah.
So reach out to me cold through that. Also, birdwalksc@gmail.com is the email. Y'all reach out. And if I've got time in my schedule, we'll figure something out. I'll come bird with you. And then for AFSP, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, we're on Facebook and Instagram as well, AFSP. At AFSP South Carolina. You can find us there. And then www.afsp.org/South Carolina. There's a big old picture of me there in my board and standing behind the word hope. That's a big buzzword for us. So, and you'll find all our resources on all of our programming there. Everything I do in the state, we try to do for free. We do some really great fundraising events. So if you've, again, if you've got a community or a company or somebody out there who wants this 45-minute lunch and learn Talk Saves Lives program, we can do it virtually. We can do it in person. We do everything we can to bring our prevention study and presentation to you because we want to be there before you need it.
Absolutely. And whether you're traveling from out of town, out of state, and visiting Columbia, or you live here, you can also check out John's Bird Walks the second Thursday of every month through Historic Columbia.
Yep. Absolutely.
And you can sign up for that at historiccolumbia.com. So thank you again, John.
You're welcome. Thank
this
you
was a great talk.
Me.
I learned so much. I love when I can have someone on who I can teach me something.
We just got the tip of the iceberg, I think, with birds. I could talk
I
birds
it.
And mental health just for days.
So thank you again, John, for joining us on today's episode. It was a pleasure. And that wraps up this episode of Explore Lake Murray Country. Thanks for listening, and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode. And keep up with us by following at Lake Murray Country on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And follow us on Twitter at Lake Murray CTRY.
And don't forget to visit lakemurraycountry.com to start planning your trip now.
Hey!
You make me come alive.
I've never felt so free.
Can't get you off my mind. There's still so much to see.
You bring out the best in me.
There's still so much to see. You make me come alive.